Hey everybody, welcome to the Hunter's Quest podcast. This is your host, Hunter McWaters. It's great to be with you guys. And I am just coming off the road back from the Hunt Expo in Salt Lake City. Had a great time, got to see a lot of old friends and new. And if you've never been to that show, you know, the Mule Deer Foundation puts that on every year. And it's usually around the second week of February. And if you're into Western hunting, mountain hunting, or if you just kind of want to get into it, it's a great place to go. Pretty much everybody in this little corner of the hunting world is there. And that goes like for brands, you know, from big, you know, names like Leupold and Browning, all the way down to, you know, smaller stuff, getting started, new products, stuff like that, and everything in between. And also, you know, if you are a fan of certain, you know, hunting YouTubers or creators, pretty much all of us are there. So it's a great time to go meet folks, network, talk to some companies, see some new products, and just have a good time. For me, it's like a big family reunion because, you know, living out here in Virginia, I get pretty much one or two times a year that show and then SHOT Show where I get to really see everybody, but really more so even at the expo than SHOT, just because SHOT is huge and you're trying to get business done the whole time. The expo is a little bit more relaxed, a little smaller, but literally pretty much everybody in the Western mountain hunting space is there. So check it out next year if you want. I definitely recommend it. It's a nice little time to get out of town, you know, maybe link it up with a little ski trip with the family or something. Who knows? But anyway, I'm just getting back from that, and I'm going to do a little solo cast today. So I had, a while back, I put out a little, like, poll on my Instagram about potential guests or topics for upcoming podcasts. And one of the requests I got was kind of just a sort of recap of my plan as we are coming into application season and time to be putting plans together for next year. It's a good time to be talking about my strategy and why and how I do what I do. And, you know, I've learned a lot over the past 5 years. And, you know, for most guys, if you live out east or somewhere else and you're traveling, or even if you live out west and you want to do multi-state, I mean, usually I'm going to say probably one or two out-of-state hunts a year is what I would consider normal. You know, now what I'm doing is not what I would necessarily consider normal just because, yeah, I'm not normal, I guess. But, and honestly, you know, I'm doing this for a living now. And so I am scheduling between 6, sometimes 7 out of state hunts a year. Now usually one of those is, at least in the last 2 years, one of those has been overseas, so that's a little different. But between 5 and 7 out-of-state Western DIY public land hunts per year, it's a lot logistically. If you've ever even tried to look into one or two states, you know it's a lot. So trying to do 5, 6, or 7 of those per year, you've got to have a strategy. You got to know the stuff. So just by necessity, I've learned quite a bit, and I have a little bit of a strategy. So I'm going to talk through that with you guys, as well as kind of going through my plan for this upcoming season, because it's going to be another really good season, and I'm really excited to get on with it. But before I do that, really quick, let me just recap for you guys what this year looked like, and that'll kind of set things going for the next plan. So this past season, and this is all content that I'm still holding on to, I'm still working on, all these hunts that I'm mentioning right now will be starting to drop in the next couple months as I get them. I'm debating holding on to them till closer to hunting season, or just kind of letting them rip. But we'll kind of burn that bridge when we get there. If you have thoughts on that, please feel free to DM me. Because I know some guys are jonesing for hunting stuff to watch right now, but there's not a whole lot because it seems like everybody released everything during the season. Or would you rather wait until closer to the season, and are you focused on other things right now? So shoot me a message if you have an opinion on that. Also, real quick, just remind you, if you want to join my broadcast channel on Instagram, that's a good way we can stay in touch. And I'm always open to DMs. Make sure you're sharing the show with friends and family, subscribing on YouTube, share the YouTube with friends and family. That's huge. Like, that's really where I want to focus, obviously on the podcast, but more so on video. So share the channel with friends and family, ask people to subscribe for me. It's very helpful, guys. Anyway, last year I started out with Oregon Bear in August. And the reason I did that, a couple reasons. My good friend Josh invited me, and Luke wanted to come too, so it was kind of a no-brainer. But also, it's an over-the-counter hunt. You can buy two tags, and it starts August 1st. So if you want to get your hunting season started early, maybe you can't make it all the way to Alaska for an Alaskan adventure, maybe look at Oregon Fall Bear. I think Washington as well starts around August 1st, and it can be really good if you hit the window right. So that was my first hunt. Next, I went to Alaska and tried to do a haul road hunt with my friend Josh again. We hunted our butts off. We walked into the rifle zone three different times and three different locations, which is 5 miles through some of the worst tundra I've ever seen in my life. So if you know anything about tundra, if you've ever been on it, you'll know that we were insane for doing that. But we did that, had some opportunities that we didn't close on in the archery zone. And then we had a couple close calls with really big cows that we thought were bulls in the rifle zone, but no shooter bulls in the rifle zone for us. But still a cool adventure. The last truly DIY, well, one of the last truly DIY caribou hunts on the planet, driving up there to the haul road. Then I went with a good friend and kind of fitness influencer, author, and really big creator in the and educator in the Native American community, Indigenous American community, Thosh Collins. You guys check him out on Instagram. His fitness content is like just on another world, dude. Like, he does insane stuff, and it's all really unique. Very cool guy. His content looks great. He also does some really awesome like cooking stuff with some of his Indigenous foods. Awesome guy. It was really cool. And the premise of the hunt was really to share our cultural experiences and kind of how we approach a hunt, our mindset, our spirituality, all of that. I wanted to really learn his perspective and share with him my perspective. So it's a really cool, unique episode where he kind of takes me through some stuff that he does. I do the same. And some wild stuff happened. Like, I literally stepped, I had my foot 2 inches, I have this on video, like literally 2 inches from a rattlesnake's face for about 49 seconds before it started rattling. And like, literally, we had just said our morning prayer together. Like, it was 100% God protecting me from getting bit by this rattlesnake. I don't know how. Anyway, you guys see the video. But really cool hunt either way. And that was through, we bought tags for that one through my buddy Ryan Gentry, his outfitter called Blackhorn down in New Mexico. So that was a cool hunt. Then I headed out to Wyoming to hunt elk on horseback with my buddy David from Bow Spider. Awesome hunt. It's going to be a two-part episode. Tons of adventure. We both killed bulls. I mean, just couldn't ask for a better, more epic, like, horseback hunt. You know, we were completely involved from the beginning. It was a lot of work. Horses are an insane amount of work, but we got back into some country that was way back up in there. Like, nobody else was around us, and we got into a big pocket of elk, and it was just sick. So, and again, you can see pretty much all the kill sequences from, well, all of these kill sequences I'm talking about right now, you can see all of them on my Instagram right now. Like, in a 1 minute reel, you can watch how the kill shot went down, which is pretty cool. I hope that doesn't dissuade you from watching the full film later, but either way, it's up there, and they're pretty cool, so check those out, and give me a follow and a like. after that, I did my solo DIY, well, solo with a cameraman, DIY mule deer hunt. This one, I went in depth on this hunt, how I pulled it off, why I decided to do it solo. On Joseph Von Benedict's podcast, the Backcountry Hunting Podcast, we did a whole podcast about this hunt. Lots of good information in there. Go watch that. But basically, I want to test my skill that I've learned over the last 5 years and come full circle on a hunt I've been dreaming about doing for years. Public land, Colorado mule deer. And, man, God blessed us, and I was able to use all these skills and knowledge I'd acquired over the past years and got it done on opening morning on a nice buck. So check that episode out on the Backcountry Hunting Podcast. Then I did Audad with my buddies from Canis Athlete. We killed a nice ram down there. Then I went to SHOT Show and then the Expo, and here we are, guys. So that was a little recap of last season, and I wanted to just say all that. There's some good tidbits in there, but also want to kind of whet your appetite for all those cool episodes that are coming down the pike real soon. And you can also see excerpts from all those and content from all those on my Instagram right now. Moving on ahead, I got a couple cool new sponsors I really am just super excited about that I want to talk about. If you don't know yet, about a month ago, I signed with Browning Firearms. Super excited to be working with them. Awesome American company with a great American heritage. And their new X-Bolts are absolute fire. Like, I've gotten my hands on a couple of them at the shows and stuff, and I have an X-Bolt Speed 2 over here, and they are just amazing. They upgraded the trigger, the features. I'll know more about it in detail soon, but really impressed with their rifles. Obviously, their shotguns are awesome, too. Just a great company. Really excited to be working with them. So, thanks to God on that one. And, let's see. We got Loophole. Well, no, Marty, that's not new. Working on Loophole Optics to do some more stuff, but that is not a new one. Okay, as far as other new ones, working with MDT now as well, which I shot their stuff last year, but now we kind of made it official. So MDT has those awesome chassis, bipods, muzzle brakes, rings and bases. Pretty much anything you want to upgrade and trick out your rifle, MDT is making that stuff at the highest level, and it is absolutely great stuff. So check out MDT. Another one that I picked up this year, Phoenix Lighting. Now, they make awesome, awesome headlamps, rechargeable, removable lights off of the headlamp thing. Red lights. They have some some lights that I like, and I forgive me for not having the technical knowledge to use the jargon, but there's like two lights on it, and one of them's like a spotlight, and one's more like a floodlight. So when you're around camp, you turn on that floodlight, and it's a natural kind of lighting color temperature, and it's not like a focused beam right on exactly what you're looking at. It's just like kind of spreads light widely, so you can like really do tasks easier, or even like cleaning an animal. And then you can also do like more of a focused beam if you want that as well. But great headlamps. I used them all year. A great battery life, durable, and they work. And then they also make a bunch of really cool like smaller lights for camp, like for camp lighting and stuff. So check out Phoenix. It's Phoenix. Stoked to be working with them. I am also, this is a little premature to talk about. I'm going to confirm with the guy today, this afternoon, but I'm very close to getting a deal put together with Half Face Blades. If you're a knife nerd like me, you probably are familiar with Half Face Blades. They make just incredible custom knives. They also make a bunch of production knives. The owner, Andrew Arabito, really cool guy who I did a podcast with, which I'll be releasing next week. He's a former Navy SEAL, Hollywood stuntman, just one of these dudes that, like, everything he does is just awesome, and he's made an incredible, incredible knife company. Most of their custom stuff is gone 5 minutes after it drops. They do drops on Saturdays, and I have one of their production blades that's really, honestly, one of the best knives I've ever held in my hand, which is saying a lot because I love knives and I have a lot of them. But anyway, Lord willing, that'll work out with Half Face Blades. I want to kind of increase their market share in the hunting side. They're very well known in, like, knife kind of circles and, like, more of the EDC, law enforcement, tactical. And they do have some hunting blades, but they're a little less known, I would say, in the hunting world. And I want to help them to change that. And it's just an awesome, awesome company. So keep an eye out for that. If you haven't seen Half Face Blades, you definitely need to check them out, halffaceblades.com. And check them out on Instagram, because they drop a lot of their stuff, like pictures of their stuff on Instagram. You'll be amazed at how cool these freaking knives are. I'm not even kidding. Like, I am a knife nerd, and I saw their Instagram page, and I literally have an alarm set on my phone now for when they do drops on Saturdays, because you have to get on there right when they drop, or all the cool ones are sold out in like 5 minutes, and they are like super unique and cool. But, you know, sometimes really cool looking knives are like cheap gas station knives. These things look cool, and all the materials are authentic, like real turquoise, real desert ironwood, like real antler. Anyway, awesome company. Check them out, Half Face Blades. But let's get into my plan for this season. Starting off with, hold on, let me pull it off. One thing I do, this, which may be a good idea for you guys, but also it's just kind of funny. When I put my plan together, I literally put it on a note on my phone, share it with my wife, and I literally make her sign the note, like draw on it and sign her signature on the bottom. Because too many years I've made plans, I talked to her about it, I'm like, hey, are you you know what's up, you know what's going on? And then a trip would come up and she'd be like, what, you're going again? Blah, 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 blah. I planned this. Blah, blah. Now, if she says anything, obviously I'm communicating as much as possible. If she says anything, though, I can literally go back to this note and be like, look, babe, I showed you this months ago and you signed it. So all that's kind of funny, but like it's helpful, and it's a kind of a tip is, like, you know, if you're planning this stuff, you need to make sure you're communicating with your partner well in advance. The more advanced, the better, it seems like, and make sure they are on board. So yeah, guys, my season is going to start again in August. Well, let me go back up to like tags and stuff. So the first place that any kind of tag buying is happening is Idaho. It used to be December 1st. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait. Yeah. December 1st of the previous year is when they'd put over the counter tags for sale for the next fall, which is crazy. It just pops up so fast every year. But if you've done it before, you can apply or you can get in a line online, a queue. But it's essentially a draw if you do it online, because to get a number low enough in line, so spots in line are randomly assigned. And in order to get one that's like low enough to get the tag you want, it's basically like a draw. So, but in any event, I had a friend who lives in Idaho who was going to buy his tags anyway, and so I asked him if he could buy me a tag. And they changed the date from December 1st to December 10th for non-resident tag sales, something to keep in mind. But basically, you want to go into that one with like two or three, I'd say at least three, even up to like six different options, because whether you're doing it online or not, when you finally get in there, you're going to have few minutes, 10, 15 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, something like that. Maybe five. I don't remember. You have a short amount of time to get in there, pick your tag, get it, and go. And so if you're not prepared and researched, and like you're not going to have time to be researching units like after you see what's available. So, you know, have a solid plan going into that. And so I always, and again, I know a lot of the stuff I'm talking about is unique to me because, like I said, I'm not normal, but I'm just running through what I do. I always go ahead and grab a mule deer tag pretty much in that sale. That way I just know for sure, no matter what happens, if I don't draw stuff, if the plan doesn't work out, something happens, I know I have a tag, a mule deer tag in October in at least a decent area in Idaho. So it's kind of my backup, to be honest. Now, I'm sure one day I will actually do that hunt and like actually put effort into doing that hunt. And I have hunted Idaho before for deer. But to this point, for the last 2 or 3 years, it's kind of been a backup. You know, Idaho's great. A lot of people have tons of amazing experiences there. I have not had the most success in Idaho personally. I kind of think it's a little bit overrated. I think it used to be amazing, and the wolves have decimated a lot of it. So anyway, no offense to Idahoans out there. It's a beautiful state, but I don't know. Seems a little overrated to me. Maybe that's just my experience, but whatever. So yeah, I didn't even talk about Alaska draws. Those happened even before that, but I'm not even going to get into that. So if you want to get into the draws in Alaska, just that's a whole other thing. You can look into that. That happens even before Idaho, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, so I always get my Idaho tag. And then I am typically looking for something to do in August. I got to, you know, use my time wisely, hunt as much as I can when I can. So I'm looking for something to do in August. Now, typically, I will plan something in Alaska in August just because the season's open up there earlier and it's usually pretty decent weather in August in Alaska. Last year, I replaced that with Oregon. This year, I am happy to say I was finally able to get into a reputable air transporter, Toke Air, and I'm mentioning it because he asked me to, otherwise I wouldn't. Toke, T-O-K Air Service, out of Toke, Alaska, and everyone I've talked to has said that he's a great pilot, knows his stuff, scouts the animals, doesn't put too many people on top of each other, and like genuinely wants to see his clients succeed. There have been some outfits up there that have popped up recently that you may want to consider carefully before booking a flight with. I'll just say that way. So anyway, this air transporter, I did have to book this like 2 years ago, which is wild, but it's just the way things are in Alaska now. And, you know, bittersweet as it is to say, this will probably be my last caribou hunt for a long time. For the foreseeable future, I've been hunting caribou a lot the last few years, and just with the way the cost is going and the way the seasons are going in the way that it takes so long to book air transporters, I'm probably going to take a step back for a while from hunting caribou, but hopefully I can end it out this year on a good bull. I really wanted to go up there in September and get a hard-horned bull and a little closer to the rut. But the herd that we are hunting got shut down a little earlier than my pilot was expecting last year. So he wanted to make sure that we were still in the safe window. But we're going to go at the very end of August into the first week of September. So there's a chance I could find a hard-horned one. But in any event, hopefully this would be kind of my, you know, my big bull to close out my caribou hunting, at least for the foreseeable future. I'm not going to say never, but for a while anyway, I think it'll probably be my last caribou hunt. On to other things. But excited about it, and I'm going to be teaming up with that on that one with Casey Richmond from Eberly Stock. So Eberly Stock is one of my best favorite partners. Casey has been there forever, and he's an awesome dude, so I can't wait to get out and hunt with him and hopefully get a couple of nice bulls. And then Luke Dusenberry will be my buddy. Will be filming the hunt for us. Super talented individual, and I'm sure you guys have seen his work. He's recovering still from an injury, but he should be doing good. So really excited about that. And yeah, hopefully we can get some big bulls down. After that, we are, let me pull up my notes here. After that, okay, after that, I'm headed to Utah. Now, this will be my first ever time hunting in Utah. And one thing that's really cool about Utah is with deer, and I believe with elk and antelope as well. Don't quote me on that, but definitely with deer. There's two separate point pools. There's your limited entry points and your general tag points. So with that, what that means is I can hunt this year on a general tag, burn my points, and still have and still be building my limited entry deer points. I really like that system a lot. So that means I can hunt, you know, general tag every couple years and still be holding out for like a cool, like nice limited entry tag down the road. So that being said, I am grabbing the muzzleloader once again, and I'm going to do a muzzleloader general Utah mule deer hunt. And that'll be the last week of September. Now, I've heard it's a really cool hunt. I've heard the deer are a little less pressured, being that it's muzzleloader. And it's open sight muzzleloader as well. Well, you can also use a 1X optic, but it's 1X optic or open sight only. So I'm going to be using my CVA Acura again. I'm going to use the MRX this time. I put a pretty substantial muzzle brake on it. And then I'm going to be using this new, I think it's new, Leupold Optics 1X muzzleloader sight. Let me look up for you guys really quick the actual name of the product. But I saw one at the expo, and it's got a red dot, but it has a custom dial, like ballistic turret. And here it is right here. It's called the Freedom Red Dot Sight. And they make them, of course, for, you know, your AR platforms and stuff. This one is specifically designed for muzzleloader, 1X power with a dialable ballistic turret, and it's going to come in right around $400 MSRP. So going to be running that on top of my CVA Acura, and then I'm teaming up with CVA again to do another film for their channel, so that film will go on my channel. And just a quick note about how I'm doing my episodes from now on. You know, in the past, I'd been editing all my TV episodes by myself, which is a 22-minute episode. It's pretty crisp, clean, quick, in and out kind of deal. And then I was kind of re-releasing those on YouTube after the fact. This year, I'm pretty much unchained. I can basically release YouTube content whenever I want. And what I decided to do was, I feel like there's a certain style of content that like more folks on YouTube appreciate and enjoy more, with just a little bit more behind the scenes stuff, a little bit more in camp, a little bit more cooking, joking around, that kind of stuff. Like just a little more, I don't know, just not as clean, polished, and like just in and out hunt. So no, I'm not going to sit here and release like hour and a half long episodes with like 30 minutes of me cooking burgers, but I'm going to show some of that stuff in camp, talk about a little bit more stuff, a little more behind the scenes, that kind of stuff, especially since a lot of my hunts this year were like with other folks. So I'm going to release about approximately 30 minute long YouTube episodes, then I'm going to cut those down for the television show. So anyway, I'm working with CVA. I'm going to release my own version of the film, but then I'm going to do a CVA cut that's going to be a little shorter, a little tighter, with a section in there about all the CVA products I used, accessories, and the load I developed and used in my muzzleloader. So that should be really cool, actually. I'm looking forward to that. And that hunt I'm looking forward to a lot. You know, there seems to be like every year I have one hunt that's like I'm really, really looking forward to the most. And I start e-scouting that thing like now, like in February, and like before I've even drawn the tag. And that's the hunt this year that I'm just like really pumped on. You guys already know I'm a deer guy. Sorry to say it, but deer are just better than elk. They're just cooler and they're harder to kill. No, but seriously, I'm just a deer guy. Some guys are elk guys. I'm a deer guy, but I am really looking forward to this hunt. It's going to be earlier in the season than I've ever hunted mule deer. So I think that's cool. I think Utah is one of the most beautiful and unique states in the country. It's awesome. So I'm looking forward to hunting there for the first time. I love the challenge of hunting a new state for the first time. And then also just the fact that it's up open sight muzzleloader, it's a little more of a challenge. You know, I'm going to have to sneak into about 100 yards, and I'm looking forward to that challenge as well. And then, you know, I kind of see it as like a step towards eventually I'm going to do high country mule deer archery. Not that I couldn't do it now, but I'm just progressing. So I see this as like a step in that direction. It's going to test my stalking abilities and my game planning, and I think it's going to be a good challenge. After having tested myself this year in Colorado on a rifle mule deer hunt, I am looking forward to the challenge of this hunt. Looking forward to e-scouting on Onyx, finding spots, finding deer, and sneaking in. It's going to be a really cool hunt. So anyway, that one's cool because that's just going to be a general tag. Like I said, I can draw it. I'm going to use 4 points. I don't know if I need that many, but I figure let's burn them instead of keeping stacking them. So I'm going to go do that hunt. And like I said, the cool thing is I can continue building my points for limited entry there at the same time. So that's going to be a awesome hunt. All right. So after that, next hunt is pretty cool. So I got a buddy who works for DU and Ducks Unlimited, that is. And man, it's like, I can't remember, one of those northeastern states near Maryland, Delaware or something. Anyway, he's buddies with my dad. He's my age, but he's buddies with my dad, and they've done some hunting together because my dad's very involved in DU, loves DU. And anyway, I went to a Ducks Unlimited banquet last year, sat with this guy, his name's Taylor. We clicked, we got along, and he also really likes Western big game hunting. He hasn't done a ton of it, but he likes it and he's building some points. And I'm always thinking of ways that I can, you know, build or like piggyback off people with lots of points because the way it works in some states, and I'm talking about Wyoming right now, is if you join a hunt as a party, and let's say your buddy has 8 points and you have 0 points, you will go into that draw with 4 points. So they take your points, your buddy's points, the whole group, they add all the points together and divide it by the number of people in the group, which is the average of all your points. So semi-selfishly, I recommended, hey, let's team up. And at the same time, I was hearing that Ducks Unlimited wanted to get more into big game content, and I think it's wise because their main thing is wetlands conservation, but you know, if you conserve a wetland, you're doing conservation not just for waterfowl, but for everything. I mean, that trickles down the food web as far as predators, but also, I mean, just using antelope, for example, I mean, water sources out there in the prairie are everything. So if you're conserving wetlands, you're conserving springs, ponds, you know, natural wet grasslands, stuff like that, you are doing conservation for mule deer, for antelope, for elk, for ducks, moose, everything. You know, obviously depending on where you are, but conserving a wetland is just conservation. It's not only wetlands conservation. So I think that's wise. They want to kind of tell that story a little better, and how they're doing conservation, not just for ducks, but for everything, the whole ecosystem. So anyway, teaming up with this guy, Taylor, and I had the idea, hey, let's do a combo hunt, man. Because I had noticed before in the past on antelope hunts, there's lots of cool little, like, just little ponds and stuff, even on public land, that are just like stacked with ducks and nobody's hunting them. And I'm sure some people do, but when I was out there, I just saw a lot of ponds full of ducks with nobody in them. And I was like, man, it'd be cool one day to do a combo hunt, shoot some ducks and shoot some antelope. So I brought that idea to the table and he was like, yeah, man, that sounds awesome. Let's look at that. So, even with our averaged points, finding that exact thing on public was a little challenging. It can be done. It's a little challenging. So we actually are teaming up with the guys at Infinite Outdoors. Now, if you've never heard of Infinite Outdoors, I would check them out. It's pretty cool. They're still growing and still adding a lot. So their inventory isn't like crazy big yet. Hopefully it'll get bigger. But they're really focused on increasing opportunities for hunters. So what they do is they're basically a service for landowners, where landowners can essentially rent out their private land out west and even in the east, I think, as well. And you pay a fee and you have that ranch or that land, whatever it is, for however long you schedule it for. Pretty cool system. Great way for landowners to get some added value on their land and kind of monitor who's hunting and how many and when. And it's a good opportunity for access for, you know, DIY guys. So check out Infinite Outdoors. We found a property on there with phenomenal antelope hunting and supposedly phenomenal duck hunting. So it's going to be pretty cool, guys. We're going to go out there. We're going to shoot ducks in the morning and evening and then hunt antelope during the day. Little combo. Almost like a cast and blast, but better, because I don't really like fishing all that much. So this is a blast and blast. It's going to be awesome. And excited to team up with Ducks Unlimited on that project. Should be pretty cool. After that, this is the only one that's like up in the air. You know, typically I really try to do low point draws or general tags or over the counter stuff. Everything I've done to this point has been, the most points I've ever burned anywhere to this point has been 3. And that was this year in Colorado. So I'm not sitting on a ton of points. Oh, I take that back. I did burn 4 points also for Wyoming elk. So, but that was a general tag. So the most like limited entry points I've ever burned is 3 in Colorado and 4 for a general elk tag in Wyoming. All I have to say is I plan hunts that I have pretty much – let me take that back. So I apply – for crazy hunts and low draw hunts. And that's actually something I wanted to mention was, let me finish this train of thought. I'll come back to it. I apply for crazy stuff like in New Mexico and sheep tags and all that stuff. I always apply for those because why not? And if I do it, when I do draw one of those crazy tags, then I'll just have to eat a tag somewhere else. I'll cancel or whatever. But I mean, those are like once in a lifetime kind of deals. So I always apply for those, but I typically apply for stuff I know I can draw because, you know, I can't build out a whole plan and book camera guys and work on the massive amount of logistics I got to do if I'm waiting until a month or two before to find out if I drew anything. I just can't operate like that. So I put in for stuff I know I'm going to draw. Now, on that note, something I forgot to mention. After the Idaho tags go on sale, the next draw that you can apply for is Arizona elk and antelope. Deer is later. There is an option to buy points only. However, if you put in for the draw and do not draw, you will automatically get a point. So Arizona is one of those states where you need to just apply. Even if it's like, I mean, I think I applied for like the best elk unit in the entire state because I'm going to be on another trip during that hunt. But obviously, like, if I draw like the best elk tag in Arizona, I'm going to go hunt it. I'm going to just cancel whatever I'm doing and go there. So there's no reason not to. You should just apply. Now, obviously, if you know you have like you're getting married on that week, don't apply for that hunt. I guess depending on how cool your wife is, but you get what I'm saying. It doesn't make sense to not apply unless you know for a fact there's no way you could do that hunt. So go ahead and apply in Arizona for whatever. That's what I did. So we'll see about that. I think that's already been like drawn, and I did not get an email, so I'm assuming I drew nothing. But I'll get my points. So, one second, guys. Check out this word real quick.
All right, so moving on. So the next hunt I'm going to do, this is the only one that's sort of up in the air right now. And I'll explain to you why. So I'm thinking, I really don't even know what I'm going to do yet, but so you can hunt blacktails in Oregon over the counter until I think it's November 7th this year. And that's a really cool hunt. You may have seen a two years ago, I shot my first Columbia blacktail, which is like a 141-inch buck. I made a film for Leupold Optics. It was on their channel. So it's a really, really cool hunt, and I have some really good friends there. One of my best friends, Josh, and Luke, is from there. So that's a really cool hunt. Now, I like hunting with people. I especially like hunting with Josh and Luke because they're a blast. But I also do like solo hunting. Again, I say solo with a cameraman. But I do like solo hunting as well. So it's not truly solo, but like on my mule deer hunt, Jamin, my cameraman, he didn't even have binoculars with him. Like he was not hunting. He was just there filming. So it was really a solo hunt, except for, of course, the mental thing of being alone is definitely different on a solo hunt. But anyway, I like making my own decisions, doing my own thing, but it is also really fun to hunt with friends. So I'm undecided here. Now, the other option is I could put in for Montana General Deer. And my thinking is, as like I said, as a deer guy, you know, obviously I'm a deer guy. I'm hunting freaking deer with a muzzleloader in September and not doing archery elk anywhere. Like, and you know, some people might think that's dumb, and you know, archery elk content crushes. People just love freaking archery elk hunts on YouTube. But I had a conversation with a guy a while back, and he's like, you know, don't do stuff because you want to get the views and you want to, like, do what you want to do. And archery elk is very cool, but I just love hunting deer, and this sounds like a really cool hunt, and I want to hunt deer as much as I can. So I'm doing that in September. But what I was trying to say was as a deer guy, my thinking is, like, doesn't matter what I'm doing – August, September, October, I want to, every chance I get, if possible, make every attempt and every effort to be hunting deer in November, even if it's a whitetail. It hasn't come to that yet, but November to me is like deer month. Like, I don't want to miss a November. Like, November is my September for you elk guys. So I'm either going to be hunting blacktail, mule deer, or if push comes to shove, I'll hunt some whitetail. I'm not knocking whitetail. I just like spot and stalk mountain hunting better. But anyway, and here's the thing about Montana. Montana's weird. It's actually one of the most confusing states there is. I still don't have everything completely straight, but I do know that to draw your general tag, there's general elk, general deer, combo. Last time I checked, the combo, which is good for a deer or an elk, has better draw odds than just the deer tag. I don't know why, but so, also, they allocate 50% of their tags to 0 point holders, meaning when I drew the tag 2 or 3 years ago, I'm sure it's changed, it was like 64% draw on 0 points. essentially a 0% draw on 1 point and then like a 100% draw on 2 points. So I'm kind of debating, do I apply or just buy a point? Not sure yet. Either way, I'm either going to hunt Montana general deer in November or just pick up a blacktail tag and go out to Oregon and hunt with Josh and Luke. It's a win-win, so I'm fine either way. Only thing is, if I do the Montana thing, I might have a little more time because that season pretty much goes to the end of the month, whereas the blacktail thing is only to like November 7th, so I'd really only have that like last week or that first week of November, and then I'm kind of done. So I'll figure that out. December, this is pretty cool. So I'm not going to go into too much detail about this because I don't think it's like anything crazy, but it's hard to find. So, as I've stated multiple times in the last 20 minutes, I am a deer junkie, especially mule deer, and desert mule deer are something very cool and interesting to me. I love the desert. I especially love the desert in the wintertime. And something about hunting deer in the desert just is like magical to me. And if you've ever done any research about hunting desert mule deer, especially later in the year, when closer to when they rut and when the weather's nicer, the options are extremely limited, or they're like $45,000 or something insane. Like desert, big trophy desert mule deer hunts are insanely expensive. They're like as much as a sheep hunt. And also, I don't like hunting guided and being told which deer I can shoot and where and how I'm going to hunt. There are certain circumstances when you need a guide, and I get that. But, like, if I can have anything to do with it, I do not want – I would rather shoot a 130-inch deer that I, like, found and killed myself than, like, a 190-inch deer that I got guided onto any day of the week. So that's just me, like – if someone said, hey, you can go on this fully guided hunt and you have guaranteed 200-inch deer, or they say, hey, you can go on this DIY hunt and you got a really good shot at killing like a 150, I'm going for the DIY 150. That's just me. But anyway, so as you look into desert mule deer hunting, you find not only are the options either guided and very expensive, there's just not many of them. So I somehow, through just connections, found a place, not huge, and I don't think it's like I said, I don't think it's like world-class freaking deer hunting or anything, but I found a place in Texas, private land, where I can go hunt mule deer DIY and have free reign for like 7 to 9, I can't remember if it's 7 or 9, like basically a week, have free reign on a medium, on the smaller side to be honest, but medium size chunk of ground in southwest Texas, which is some of the coolest freaking desert country actually I've ever seen. It's underrated. I think Texas is a little underrated because there's not any public. But if you can find a private land hookup, which I even talked to some Texans, and finding a DIY private land like mule deer hookup is not easy to find. So I went ahead and jumped on this. We'll see how it is. Could be good, and I'll keep going back as long as I can. It might not be good. I don't know. But like I said, I know there's some deer there. There is also Awdad on that ranch, so there's possibility if it's not happening with the deer, he might let me shoot a ram. But just having the opportunity, I'm really excited about. And that part of Texas, like I said, I think it's underrated, but not like even necessarily from hunting, but just like the country. Like, it is so cool. Like, there's like all these like crazy geological features in the land, and like we were out there last time before SHOT Show Awdad hunting, and like randomly in this one ravine there was just like this vein of like white crystal stuff like running through the entire valley and up the other side of the ridge, just one little vein, and it was like this crumbly white and there's just crystals everywhere. Like, you can find agates and anyway, just really cool country. So looking forward to that.
Let's see. That'll take me to December. And that'll do it for the fall. Now, I did forget to mention, in April, now this will be part of season 3 still, so you will see this episode come out this year. But in April, I'm going down to New Zealand to hunt with Joe Edlington from JE Wilds. If you haven't seen his YouTube channel, it's huge, way bigger than mine. Really cool channel, JE Wilds. He's basically the Pedro Ampuero of New Zealand, and he's a buddy of mine. So he invited me. We got unlimited helicopter access. We're going to hunt stag. I think they're still going to be roaring. And then if we got time, we're going to go after some tars. So that's going to be awesome. I'll let you guys know how that goes. Keep an eye out for content from that. But yeah, that's pretty much it, guys. I didn't go into a ton of strategy. I kind of just hit the stuff that was apropos to the conversation. But mainly I'm just looking for ways that I can apply for hunts I know I can draw and make a good plan. I don't like waiting. Like I said, I will apply for the crazy stuff, of course, but I don't like waiting to know if I'm going to go on a hunt till a month or two before. I just can't do that. Now, if that's your only hunt for the year or something and you want to do that, go for it. But this is just my strategy. I'm trying to think if there's any other little nuggets I could give you guys. You know, I don't really have anything come to the top of my head, but I hope this was helpful. If you guys have specific questions on planning, strategy, logistics, tag application stuff, feel free to message me on Instagram. Now, you know, I'm not Hunting Fool and I'm not a tag application service. So, you know, I'll help you as much as I can. But like, you know, within reason, I would recommend if you want to do a strategy like that and talk to somebody who it's their job and yeah, you're going to have to pay for it a little bit, but Hunting Fool is a great service. If you're really looking to get a multi-state strategy, and you don't have, I mean, like this is my full-time job. So I got time. I have hours to, you know, delve into states and plan and research and make a plan. And it's not easy. So if you want to do a multi-state strategy, which I recommend, if you want to hunt every year, you really pretty much have to have a multi-state strategy, at least 2 or 3 states. Get with the Hunting Fool guys. They'll help you out. Tell them I sent you. And yeah, use OnX to eScout. Use the code Quest over there. You can use the code Quest several places right now, guys. I really want to mention OnX, Mountain Ops, of course. Canis Athlete. I'm not trying to go into a commercial here, but hunted with their stuff all year. They have a few new products out. Their sleeping bag, which I saw at the expo, literally the best sleeping bag I've ever seen. And I'm not just saying that, like multiple guys, I showed it to multiple guys. All of them were like super impressed, super feature rich, amazing sleeping bag. And their clothing, tough, well-designed, fits great, lasts forever. So check out Canis Athlete. If you haven't tried any of their stuff, I would grab a pair of their pants. I like the Alpine pants, and I like the Kafui pants. The Alpine are going to be a little lighter, a little quicker drying probably. They're, you know, more of a traditional hiking pant type material, although all their stuff is made with Cordura. All their stuff is made with Cordura nylon, so it's way more durable than most of the polyester crap out there. But the Kafui pants are Cordura double ripstop. I mean, they are, like, indestructible. They all have really nice, comfortable knee pads in them, built-in gaiters. Awesome pants. Try them out. Use the code Quest. I've talked to several of my buddies who have given them to or who have bought them, and they're the best hunting pants they've ever worn. So, and these are serious hunters, and we're not just saying this. Like, they're not paying me extra to tell you guys this. Try out their pants. Use the code Quest. Save some money. You can also use that code at Seek Outside. One awesome gear thing that I used from Seek Outside this year was their courthouse shelter on my Colorado hunt. It's basically a packable 3-man wall tent. Like, I flew out there with it. Insanely light, insanely easy to put up.
Fits three cots plus gear. Really great shelter. And they're updating their Cimarrons and their six-person TPs. I can't remember what they're called. But they're coming out with an update on the Cimarron. They're going to send me one. I'm going to do a review and show you guys the differences between the old Cimarron and the new one. But you can use code QUEST and save there. Same with, like I said, Mountain Ops. But I really encourage you guys, check out something from Canis Athlete. Like, try out some pants. You won't be disappointed. Anyway, guys, I'm going to wrap it up. Like I said, share the show with friends and family. Please share the YouTube with friends and family. If you have questions, please get after me. If you have questions, please let me know. Sorry, I keep getting, my computer keeps giving me a pop-up and stopping the recording if it's glitching out. Anyway, thank you guys for your support. I appreciate it. Thanks for following along. Stay tuned, and we'll see you on the next one.